This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with me, Roshan Kanasan, Kusu Chong, and Noel Lim. And we've got a poll running on Twitter right now. Should MPs be allowed to quit their party during their tenure? Your options, yes, no, don't know, don't care. We'll get into the responses in just a bit. But right now, as a lot of us have noticed, there has been a change of state government in Kedah, or at least it seems imminent based on all the news flow, after two PKR assemblymen quit their party to support Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. This included Lunas Assemblyman and State Exco Azman Nazruddin, as well as Sidam Assemblyman Robert Lin Kwee Ee, claimed they have lost confidence in the PKR leadership.
So now they say they are now independent representatives that support Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin and the formation of a new Perikatan National State Government. So I think there are rumours that a past member, Sanusi Matnor, may be the new incoming Kedah Menteri Besar. So right now, as we know, Kedah Menteri Besar is Dato Sri Mukriz Mahathir, and he's left with 17 out of 36 seats. I have to say, though, this is quite a well-placed shot to the Pakatan Harapan coalition.
Yes, I've seen jokes about how this fight is going on Twitter. But for some in-depth analysis, we have on the line with us Professor James Chin, Director of the Asia Institute at the University of Tasmania, a frequent commentator on Malaysian politics. Now, James, are you there on the line with us?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning to you. Now, thank you for taking the time to speak to us. Now, Dato Sri Mukriz seems to have lost his grip on the Kedah State Government after two PKR assemblymen jump ship. Will we see a change of government here?
Yes, I think it's very likely there will be a change of government. The rumours about the change of government actually came a lot earlier. So at the end of February, when the Pakatan Harapan government collapsed, there was already thought of replacing Mukriz for the very simple reason that Mukriz is supporting his father, Mahathir, in his fight with Muhyiddin. And also Mukriz is also standing as a candidate for the presidency of Bersatu against Muhyiddin. So it's very obvious that if you go against the leader of the party, you obviously cannot be holding the post of the Menteri Besar. So the answer is yes. We're very likely to see a change in government in the next 48 hours.
And what does this really mean for, you know, the bigger picture here? Pakatan Harapan is, he's filed that motion, he's pushed for that motion of no confidence vote against Tan Sri Muhyiddin. What does this all mean for the May 18? Are we going to see more defections, for example?
Sure. I think the first thing for your listeners to know is that the motion filed by Mahathir most likely will not see the light of day on May the 18th. The way the Malaysian Parliament works is that government business comes first. So given the fact that they will have to adjourn early because it's Puasa, and they have the early order speeches and all the protocols, so it's very unlikely that we'll see Mahathir's no confidence motion come to the floor of Parliament. The wider picture is actually quite simple. There's a big contest now in Bersatu for the soul of the party between Mahathir, who wants his old job back, and Muhyiddin, who wants to hang on to his job. So what we're seeing in Malaysia right now is a sort of a big push for the new PN government to dominate, not only at the federal level, but also at the state level. So the short answer is yes, we can expect a lot more defections. Right now, most of the defections are at the state level because they're trying to take over a lot of the state governments. But coming as we get closer to the May 18th sitting, I expect more defections at the parliamentary level. In other words, I expect more MPs from the PH side to move to the PN side.
Yeah, Prof, this is obviously, it seems a clear manifestation of the horse trading that everybody talks about. What does this mean for Mahathir and Co in terms of how their narrative, do they still retain their reform agenda narrative, or do you think they'll become, they might switch tack and go on to some other messaging?
Right now, the numbers are actually very close. The market talk is that PN probably have somewhere between 112 to 115. So the majority you need in Malaysia is only 112, so they have a wafer thin majority. So basically the way it works is that it can go either way. The big problem is that the Malay ground is very much against DAP being part of the next government. So I don't know how they're going to resolve this issue. But whatever it is, Mahathir is dead set on getting his old job back. And I think we'll see some interesting fights coming up.
Now, speaking of Tun Mahathir, he and Dr. Sri Anwar Ibrahim made up over the weekend. And what does this say? And so these two PKR assemblymen have cited a loss of, or at least a lack of leadership at PKR. What does this say about Anwar Ibrahim's clout to always party and to challenge Perikatan Nasional?
Right now, Anwar doesn't really feature in terms of the challenge. The strange thing in Malaysian politics now is that everybody knows, even though Anwar is formally the leader of the opposition, or in the British system, the alternative prime minister, if for whatever reason Muhyiddin falls and the PN government falls, it's very likely Mahathir will come back as the prime minister. What is the future for Anwar? It's difficult to say right now, but I think it's very, very difficult for him to become the next prime minister as long as Mahathir wants the job. The other thing you need to know is that in terms of the leadership, I think this reaction against Anwar Ibrahim is not so much a reaction against leadership, but it's rather the wider picture of the turbulence between Pakatan Harapan trying to be cohesive, trying to retain itself as a coalition, because there are a lot of people inside Pakatan who believes that, you know, they cannot go on with the current configuration. Right now, if you look at Pakatan, the biggest problem in the Malay community, at least, is that DAP has the largest number. So people are worried about that.
Why does Mahathir have more clout? Is it because Anwar's liability is DAP?
No, Mahathir is a personal brand name in Malaysia. He has a very, very strong brand name in the rural areas. And the way the Malaysian electoral system works is that whoever carries the rural areas carries the government. So if you remember in 2018, the reason why Barisan Nasional fell was that because the rural Malays were divided three ways, PAS, UMNO and Bersatu. So whoever can penetrate the rural Malay areas, they can carry the government. So Mahathir is very, very strong among rural Malays who still see him as a strong Malay nationalist leader, and they're quite comfortable with him being in charge. What they're not comfortable with, and part of this has got to do with the narrative put up by UMNO and PAS, is that DAP has too much influence in any government. So when Mahathir comes back into government, I expect you will see a lot more Malay-centric type of government. And I think Mahathir has also openly admitted that the biggest problem with his previous administration was this white hell perception that the DAP was too domineering in the PH government.
However, I don't see that as a narrative that Mahathir and Anwar are pushing. In their joint media statement, they're just saying we are here for reforms, and they're very silent on the role of DAP and, or you know, pushing the Malay agenda.
Yes, yes, yes. As I mentioned, that's the white hell perception, and that's the narrative promoted by UMNO and PAS. So obviously, in the joint statement, they're not going to mention about all the problems faced by Pakatan. They're trying to wrestle the government back from PN, so obviously, they're not going to mention all these problems. But it is a widely held perception in the Malay community. So they have to deal with it. It's not an easy thing to do. The worst thing about all this sort of debate is that it is not true that the DAP was actually dominating the government. So if you look at all the key ministries in the old government, the only key ministry held by DAP was actually the finance ministry. All the other key ministries was actually held by PKR and Bersatu.
So what does this mean for DAP? Because, lest we forget, they still have quite a number of seats in Parliament. Where do they go from here? And I think more importantly, what does it mean for Malaysia's liberal reform agenda if it still survives?
Sure. So as I mentioned earlier, the DAP is still the largest bloc in Pakatan Harapan. So that's the reason why it's easy for UMNO and PAS to carry out this narrative that we must not go back to Pakatan Harapan, because if we go back to Pakatan Harapan, basically the DAP will be in charge because they have the largest number of MP. What does this mean for the reform agenda in Malaysia? It depends on where you're coming from. If you're realistic, you argue that, you know, the Pakatan Harapan government, no matter how you look at it, is a lot better than the Perikatan government because it's much more multiracial. PKR itself is multiracial, DAP is multiracial. The only party that I saw exclusively for the Bumiputera is Amanah. Unlike the Perikatan government, where all the three major parties, UMNO, PAS and Bersatu, are all Malay-centric. So that's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is that the reform agenda can't go anywhere until we resolve this issue of where to fit the Chinese in or the non-Malays in. in the political spectrum. Right now, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of the Malays, especially in the rural community, do not really want to share power with the Chinese. They don't mind having the non-Malays in government there, but they do not want the non-Malays to hold key positions.
And that was Professor James Chin, director of the Asia Institute at the University of Tasmania, speaking to us earlier this morning. I don't know how you feel after that conversation, because it's a bit of a mixed bag, but also it makes you feel a little bit, gloomy.
Well, you know, Malaysia seems to always take one step forward and then two steps back. And then, you know, we seem to be just going back in time when, the rest of the region, not necessarily the world, but the region seems to be quite serious. In fact, much more serious in terms of getting its place in the world. Malaysia has always been seen as a stable beacon of stability and reform and progress. But really, the last 3 years have just amplified the notion, at least, the suspicion that Malaysia just isn't that serious about the future.
Yeah, regionally, I guess it could be worse. It could be Philippines, which has really seen some interesting times with their president. But we actually ran a poll on Twitter, which is now over with 349 votes in. Should MPs be allowed to quit their party during their tenure? Overwhelming majority here, 70% say no, 17% say yes, at 17% saying yes. Don't know saying, 3% saying don't know, just under 10% they don't care. Noelle, what are your thoughts on this?
I think actually they should be allowed to quit their party. After all, you know, it's a free will, right? But I think the Singapore Constitution has some interesting rules here, right? And you have that on your screen.
Yes, Noel, I've actually pulled it up. It's section 46, I guess, clause 2. The seat of member of parliament shall become vacant. There are a few conditions here, but B is if he ceases to be a member or is expelled or resigns from the political party which he stood for in the election. And I think this is very important. I also agree with you on this, Noel. I think this is a very important thing because, yes, I think MPs should be free to move. It's their right to choose their party, but it's also the right of the citizen to be able to validate that choice. So if someone leaves that party, there should be an election to hear the people's thoughts on that, essentially. Because in a way, when you vote for someone, it's kind of like a contract. Like, you've voted for this person because of this person and this party. And in Malaysia, studies have shown that people vote for the party a lot more. So I think it needs to be, if this is going to, one of the ways is it has to come through the people's mandate again.
Yeah, so I think there has to be some integrity built into the system. So for Kedah, I think we might know the fate of the chief minister in about a couple of days' time. Heavily speculated that January Assemblyman Muhammad Sanusi Noor might be the new Kedah chief minister, and he's from PAS.
Yeah, we've actually got quite a few responses here. And one of them, actually, Terence, has tweeted in, yes, I guess to allow for principled opposition, changing affiliations should also trigger an election in X amount of days, effective immediately, ? I think that's pretty much what we were talking about then, Noel. Chuan, what do you feel?
Well,
you Ken
really
Wons?
Want to hear what I feel? It's not for radio consumption, but I think in essence that the national interest has always got to take precedence above everything else, right? And the country's being hit on a whammy on three fronts. We have got to put our best foot forward, and now is not the time to be horse trading or even politicking or bickering, and more to the point, gain of any kind, shape or form.
Right. And I think the sentiments here echo. Let us know what you think over on Twitter at BFM Radio, or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Up next, the KLCI opening, as well as market insights with Jack Kuzi, Director of Strategy at VFS Group. But before that, the 9 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.